Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Jabba the Pod.
Right, sons, and welcome to another special bonus episode of Sci-Fi Wire's Jabba the Pod, our Star Wars podcast where we discuss and celebrate the movies, shows, books, comics, games, and everything else from the galaxy far, far away. Every generation is a legend, every legend is a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, disgraced former Jedi and Force mystic Brian Silliman. Joining me is the greatest co-host in the galaxy, former Force-sensitive Assassin's Guild member turned droids rights activist, Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
Caitlin, how are you on this fine galactic? We don't know if it's day or night, really. It's all just space.
It's all just black. I am good. I'm tired. I think we've all had a long weekend, but we have a lot to look forward to in this episode, Brian.
We do. Matt is off sulking somewhere on the ship. We don't know where he is. He was not happy about what happened in our last episode. Let's just say that. And he also, just in case it wasn't clear, he had no idea that was going to happen.
Yeah, that was genuine. That was his genuine reaction.
The reaction from you, and neither did you. The reaction from both of you was completely so genuine. And then that little secret got pulled off is surprising. But I want to start with, before we get into the big interview of this bonus, which was really exciting. First things first, we have to get some corrections out there. So it's time for, I'm sure, your favorite segment and
personally,
a lot of other people's segment. Hey, I was wrong.
Just stand there in your wrongness and be wrong and get used to it.
I've been wrong about a lot of things recently.
You know what? You can't be perfect all the time. Like, or, mistakes are going to be made.
You can't be perfect any of the time. It's like mistakes are always going to be made. It's like a
perpetual...
You know
what? That's the lesson of life. Like, you're never going to be perfect. So just accept that we all have faults and move on.
So why try? But hold myself accountable. For one thing, when we were talking about Trials of the Darksaber, which is important to get this out based on the interview that we're about to do, is very heavily based in that episode, I said something like, oh yeah, there's Sabine has this great scene with Hera, and they go on, that doesn't happen. There's no scene like that. There's it's Sabine has a scene with Ezra and they talk about family. The scene is Hera over the hollow with Kanan talking about, you know, it's not about you, it's about her, and remember how hard it was for her to trust us and all that. It's like, that's the scene. There are
a lot of great scenes
with Sabine and Hera, but that in this episode, that's not a scene.
And I should have clocked that too, because at that point, I had watched it.
Well, I feel like you were about to, because I said that. It was like, there's a great scene with Sabine and Hera, and you were like, yeah. And if it was Matt, he would have been like, well, what are you talking about? Who's Zoe Blood? But it's like,
I can't remember. I was a blur. Everything is just a blur to me.
It was a blurg. Look, it's, you know, between watching, rewatching, doing the research and everything else, something I just things get crossed. So I apologize. That rewatching it yet again, I was like, okay, wow, I was way wrong. But there are plenty of wonderful Sabine Hera scenes in Star Wars Rebels.
You're Rebels, aren't you?
That was not one of them.
Yeah, this is a great Sabine Ezra scene, and it's a great Hera Kanan scene, and it's also just the scene. Obviously, the big scene is Sabine Kanan. But also, we recently, listeners, I hope you've checked it out, have talked with Vanessa Marshall, and apologies to her. I I had said that she appeared as Jan Ors in the Old Republic games, which is also wrong. She did appear in the Old Republic games. Her voice is heard as many characters in those games, but Jan Ors in particular is from Jedi Outcast. It's from the Kyle Katarn game, and I was way wrong about that. So Jan Ors is not in the Old Republic. Jan Ors is a completely different time period. And you know the funny thing is, I realized this mistake is because I was playing Jedi Outcast, because they've reported it to systems, and I was playing it. And I'm like, that sounds like Vanessa. And then I said, yeah, it's Jan Ors. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
There's no way this character has been alive for thousands of years.
You know, like, what? Maybe. Question mark.
Yeah, no, because then I looked it up. It's like every name but that. And so I'm like, oh my good Lord. And thank God for that. That game has actual cheat codes intact, because I suck at it. It's a first person shooter. It's a lot like Doom, except it's Star Wars, and I'm terrible at it. So thank God. Immediately, even on the Switch Lite, I'm like, is there a god mode here? There is. So
got it.
It was such a weird way. I'm like, wow, it's like, not only am I wrong, but Jan Ors continued to help me in my mission, which was a success. I'm thankful, but welcome to my Friday. Welcome to my Friday night when I couldn't sleep. So huge apologies to our great guest Vanessa Marshall for that mix-up. Just, you know, apologies all around. Apologies to you, Caitlin. Apologies to Bob the Pergil, who's floating outside. Apologies to Star Wars in general. Lock me up in Stygian Prime for the rest of my life. I was wrong.
However. No, however, just be wrong.
Well, we're not here, despite what this episode build-up would tell you. We're not here to celebrate my wrongness. Because we have such an exciting interview, and we're about to boot up the Hollow. I'm a huge fan of this person, and I know you are too, Caitlin.
Absolutely. We've been very excited to share this with you guys.
And it's not only is she a huge part of Star Wars Rebels.
You're Rebels, aren't you?
But she's, you know, you, at least before you ever watched Rebels, kind of knew her from other things, didn't you?
Absolutely. She's in The Good Place. Which is just a phenomenal turn as a psychotic demon who's just trying to make her way in the world. And then I also, you and I have talked about this quite a bit, Brian, with The Internship, which is like a movie that has no right to be as good as it is.
We talked about it once.
Right. We talked about it more than we probably should have, though, considering that it has nothing to do with what we do on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Even if it's not business, it's like, oh my God, did you see this? It's like, can't believe this or whatever. The Internship in no way is something that we'd cover. You know, I'm sure maybe there's a genre angle I haven't looked at.
I mean, between Tia and between Dylan O'Brien, like, we can make the argument that there are enough people in it.
Of course, we're talking about Tia Sirkar, the great Sabine Wren on Star Wars Rebels. Now, we do focus on a lot of episodes that we have already covered and the show in general, but we do get into spoilers for season 4. So if you're watching along with us for the first time, we're going to sound the spoiler klaxon because there are spoilers ahead for the end of the show, end of the series, season 4, things, the entire epilogue, things that you do not want to be spoiled about. However, if you've already seen, if you've already watched the whole series, they will not be new to you, but be careful. Spoiler klaxon, go, 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 woo, woo. Okay, and with that, here's our interview with Tia Sirkar, Sabine Wren, Spectre 5, boot up the Hollow, and punch it! On the Holocom right now is an artist known for her roles in films such as The Internship and Good Sam, shows such as Supergirl, Alex, Inc., and a new Quibi series called The Fugitive, and of course, she is Vicky on The Good Place, as well as countless other projects. But to us, she is the formidably amazing Sabine Wren from Star Wars Forces of Destiny, and of course, Star Wars Rebels. It is my honor to say, Tia Sirkar, welcome to Jabba the Pod.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Ooh, of course.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. When you first booked Star Wars Rebels, you not so much weren't a fan of Star Wars, but you hadn't been really exposed to too much of it yet. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's certainly not that I had seen stuff and wasn't a fan. It was more that I don't know. I'm the youngest in my family, and I don't think my family was a Star Wars family. I don't know if my parents even watched the original trilogy. Maybe they had. And so I just didn't grow up in like a Star Wars family. And so I kind of didn't know what I was missing. And so then when I got that, when I got the call, I was obviously thrilled. And then I was like, oh, I want to know, I need to like see as much as I can and learn as much as I can. And I did not know what I was in for when I set upon that mission. But yeah, so then, I immediately like watched the original trilogy and was like, instantly like, oh, I totally get it. I'm totally on board, and I am fully a full-fledged fan right out, out the gate. And it was also kind of serendipitous because it's right when Clone Wars became available to stream on Netflix. And so I just dove right into Clone Wars, which I also immediately fell in love with. So I was like late to the game, but I got here. I got here eventually.
Yeah, not only were you cast on a Star Wars project, but you're cast as a Mandalorian, which is a whole other
Correct.
Subset of mega fandom.
Of intensity.
But you're also, you have a guide in Dave Filoni and a better guide, the ins and outs there couldn't possibly be, I imagine.
100%. I mean, Dave is like, as far as I'm concerned, the messiah of Star Wars, and also just the best. And so he was, incredibly helpful, especially like when I was like, look, I want to learn as much about Mandalorians as I can. What do I, where do I go? What do I do? And so he was very helpful in that sense. And also, gave me like what to watch specific, because there was so much Clone Wars available to watch. He was like, look, you should watch the whole thing, but in the meantime, you should definitely watch like this arc and these episodes. And so that was helpful. And then also having Freddie Prinze Jr. and Vanessa Marshall basically both be like human encyclopedias about Star Wars was also really helpful. And, Sam Witwer, so many of my castmates on the show are just like so knowledgeable. And we're talking like Star Wars, extended universe, like just everything. So, I was surrounded by a lot of Star Wars knowledge that I was, able to, well, I tried to glean as much from as I could.
Right. Obviously, Filoni gave you these great kind of cheat sheets for Clone Wars. Do you remember anything else that he told you to check up on or like to get some know-how on?
I mean, it was watching the Mandalorian-centric episodes of Clone Wars, and that was helpful in, getting kind of a sense of, obviously the tone and the feel of that show is so different than Rebels, but at least to sort of get me familiar with, not just Star Wars as a whole, but specifically these people, their history, their culture. Clone Wars was a huge help to me in getting familiar with the type of, the kind of person I would be playing.
We're now in season 3, or we'll probably be past that by the time this airs, but we've gotten to know Sabine. Well, some of us are rewatching, some of us are watching for the first time. So it's a truly exciting all around. But it's great that the slow burn that we slowly get to know Sabine through her history, then we meet Ketsu Onyo, and then we meet Fenn Rau. Talk about episodes that are pivotal, not only for Sabine, but Mando history. We hit Trials of the Darksaber, and that's become one of the most popular episodes of all of Rebels. When you were recording that episode, did you feel like it was something as special as it is?
Well, thanks. I certainly felt it like it was very special for me. I mean, Dave, I've talked about this before, but I Dave was so lovely. He kind of pulled me aside at another recording session for a different episode and said, look, this is coming up. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be, intense. And I just want to know, like, how would you like to go about this? Like, do you want it to be a closed session? Do you want it to just be you and Freddie? Like, how do you want to do this? Which I so very much appreciate, because it was really, I mean, it was certainly a very challenging, thrilling, but also challenging episode to record. So yeah, he was really wonderful. And get, you know, usually we wouldn't know anything about anything until we absolutely had to know. And, you know, then like we would get scripts sometimes the night before we had a recording session the next afternoon. So that getting all that information in advance was unusual and very much appreciated. And so, yeah, we did kind of we didn't record with the whole cast like we normally do. Much of that was just Freddie and I in the booth together, which was really great. And obviously with Dave like guiding us through it. And I am, I guess, would say mostly an on-camera actor. And so I don't, in my experience anyway, with voiceover work, I haven't been given the opportunity to do that kind of a, you know, story arc and that kind of dialogue with that much emotion and intensity, especially because I play a very stoic character who doesn't allow herself to be vulnerable or emotional, unless the emotion is like anger and rage. Right. So, so it was really great. And I felt like it was such a gift that Dave gave me to get to play her in that way and, give me that material. And Freddie was just, you know, Freddie. And it was such a wonderful experience. And I'm so glad that people enjoy it. And man, I just think like the animation in that episode is so beautiful. And like Kevin Kiner's music in that episode, just, it all came together so beautifully. And I feel really lucky to have gotten to be a part of that episode.
It's pivotal also, because not only that episode and the one after it that comes after it, where we meet Sabine's family really for the first time, it ties her so even more so to the Darksaber, which is now exploded into Star Wars consciousness once again because of the Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
So people think of the Darksaber, and I'm wondering if there was any knowingness in the sound you just made. But it's do you keep up with the Mandalorian? And
yeah,
did you know that was coming with the Darksaber? Was that a shock to you too?
Yes. You think Dave Filoni's going to give me a heads up that that's happening in the Mandalorian? Absolutely not. Yes, I think I probably stood up off my couch and was like, what? That's my Darksaber. No, I had absolutely no idea. Of course, like that should come as no surprise to anyone. If, you know, we don't know much even when we're on the show. So when I'm not on that show, I definitely don't know. But I was thrilled to see it. I mean, I'm like, I think The Mandalorian is so incredible. I'm so happy for Dave. And I think, you know, it's so good. It's so good. So I was thrilled to see it and also confused to see it. And I was like, what's going to happen? What does this mean? I have questions as a fan, as well as a person who has played Sabine.
Yeah, it was such a gut punch, because everyone was like, a lot of people were like, what's that? And some of us were like, oh, well, it's, you know, in Rebels, it was the last time we saw it was in season 4, and they come up and here's Bo-Katan. And also, but you know, Sabine is very, you know, because Sabine was kind of the Mandalorian before, you know, we met the Mandalorian. So, I mean, I know this isn't something you can probably answer, even if it is there. But since we're on the topic of the Mandalorian, it's a lot of fans really want Sabine in The Mandalorian, and they all want you to play her.
I very much appreciate that. I know, you know, I get a lot of messages and things saying, I mean, certainly I get a lot of messages saying, are you in The Mandalorian? You know, like, which, you know, if I was, I couldn't answer, of course, but a lot of questions saying like, why, you know, why isn't Sabine in The Mandalorian? And listen, I have the same questions, and I don't have any answers, unfortunately, for you or for myself. But I get a lot of like very sweet messages saying like, if, you know, we want Sabine and we want Sabine to be you, which I, you know, very, very much appreciate and love that people actually still want to see Sabine on screen. And it's, you know, an honor to have gotten played her ever. And so if I could get to play her in any capacity, whether it's animated or live action, I would jump at the chance. So if anyone wanted Sabine to like show up in The Mandalorian, I would, you know, it would be like a dream come true. Just
the word
that
is out there.
Yeah. The word is out there.
Yeah.
It's not like Dave doesn't know how both Taylor and I feel about reprising our roles in a live action format. It is, he's been made aware of our feelings about the matter. So, you know, if there's some way, whether it's on The Mandalorian or who knows, but I would just, it would be a dream come true to get to play her again, however that happens. And if it were live action, that would be even, you know, even sweeter.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's the way the show, and skipping ahead, and we'll put a big spoiler warning on this at the beginning, but it's just so much arable storytelling land there between you and Ahsoka going off to find Ezra, Thrawn, and possibly Pergil. Everybody wants that show, and we don't care how we get it. We just want it.
I'm with you.
Brian wants it.
Yeah, side question, are you going to be on The Mandalorian? Sorry.
Nice try though. I mean,
he makes the attempt. Oh no, I will say if that were ever a possibility in your wildest dreams, obviously, and it would be so much fun. Would you be willing to dye your hair like Sabine, or would you have to go with a wig?
I think once upon a time, a long time ago, this is like pre-Mandalorian. I think Dave just knows how badly I want. Both Taylor and myself, I'll speak, sorry, Taylor, I'm calling you out, but both of us have made our, you know, like, we have no qualms in saying how badly we want to play Ezra and Sabine live action, meaning directly to Dave Filoni. at one point he did say like, well, you know, you'd have to like go to, you know, do training, you'd have to shave your head. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm an actor. And I like to get to play Sabine live action. Like, yeah, what do you want me to do? I mean, I don't know how my manager and my agent would feel about me shaving my head to play Sabine, but I will do what needs to be done if the opportunity were to arise. I'll just say that much.
Bring it on.
Yeah, bring it on.
Now, and I will say too, I thinking about Sabine, she's such a great character because I feel like it's very rare, it's getting better, but still rare to see a female character be able to show the kind of anger and the depth that Sabine really leans into in this show. Was that ever something that you were really paying attention to? Kind of how did you lean into these complicated emotions in a voice acting capacity only? Because like you said, you're used to being able to play it out physically on screen. How do you lean into that in animation?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think Dave has said before that like Sabine was the least fleshed out character going into Rebels. And so we kind of, I shouldn't say we, but like, I guess I can say we kind of like found her as we went along, and so that's cool. But like, so I think from a writing perspective, I think it kind of happened sort of organically as we went along. And you know, I know that he said many times that each of us kind of informed how the characters were, and you know, how their arcs progressed, and even just like the way they talked and things like that. You know, it was sort of infused with each of our personalities. I mean, I will say Sabine is much cooler than me and way more badass for sure. So I think some of that, a lot of it is writing, right? Like it's all there on the page. But then sometimes like a little Tia would creep in, which was like a little too chipper and a little too like not badass enough. And so Dave would just gently remind me like, oh, a little less Tia, a little more Sabine. And I would know exactly like, oh, okay, I got it. But like, yeah, it's definitely... You know, it's interesting, you know, I'd always forget how young Sabine was when we started the show, because she seems so wise beyond her years, and she's so capable, and she's a warrior, and she's like, she's the munitions expert, you know, the 16-year-old girl, which is so awesome. And the fact that she's a Mandalorian, obviously they conduct themselves a certain way, they have a code. And so, yeah, there were so many interesting layers to this girl, or young woman, I should say, because she she matures so much. And I think actually it wasn't until, oh man, I haven't watched the show in a long time, but was it season two where she starts, you guys have watched more recently than me, I think. Season two is when she starts kind of like questioning, you know, what's happening with the ghost crew, and she gets a little bit pouty. I don't know. Pouty's a terrible way to describe it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. And I think when she runs in with, has the run in with Ketsu, and they're reminding her of the old days.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's
yeah.
thinking through her choices.
Yeah, she gets a little like teen angsty. And it was then that I realized, oh, you know what? Maybe she's not, you know, she is still young and has these sort of like, I don't know, she being a teenage girl, female, is complicated in any galaxy, in any universe.
Yes.
Right?
So,
yeah.
Add to that that they're like, you know, fighting a rebellion against the Empire. So anyway, it was definitely like challenging to play this person that has, you know, it became more clear to me over time that she had such deep rooted issues and all the, you know, what, you know, when I learned what had happened with her family and what she was responsible for and what she felt responsible for. Yeah. Every new thing I learned about her sort of added to the complex layers that she already had. That was a really long answer to not that complex of a question, but it was a learn, you know, the whole process, like we didn't know everything from the get-go, right? Like things were revealed to us, things, you know, Dave kind of added things to the mix as we went along. So we kind of got to know our characters over four seasons, you know, better and better. And that was pretty cool in and of itself.
It's great because she was very mysterious in the beginning, and
yeah.
we knew very little about her. So any little bit of information we get, there's an early episode with just Sabine, and mostly just Sabine and Hera,
mm-hmm.
and we get some info there. And it's funny because Sabine's problem is she's not getting enough info in general. She's
right.
not getting the intel that Hera's getting and wants to be in the loop more. And we're like, yes, we'd like to be in the loop on who you are.
Right.
So that's what's so great about the later seasons, because Sabine, not only do we learn more about her, she, along with, is as much as it's mostly, I mean, it's an ensemble, but it's very much Ezra's journey.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say in season three and four, it's Ezra and Sabine's journey pretty much equally.
Interesting.
And that transition, I mean, is there an episode that that particularly, or moment that stands out for you as either being, you know, a personal favorite, or maybe one that was a particular challenge?
Yeah, I mean, for me, certainly Trials of the Darksaber is near and dear to my heart. Not just, I mean, because it was a challenge, and because the way we made it, like I was saying earlier, like just kind of the process of doing it was so different than all the other episodes. And, you know, I got to sort of go somewhere with a character that doesn't allow herself to be vulnerable ever. That was really kind of, I don't know. I will cherish that experience for a long, long time. As I do just the show in general, but just that one was a really special one for me. But also, man, our finale episode, I don't know. I don't know how freely I can speak. Should
go
I not?
Go ahead. Go for
okay.
it. Yeah. Yeah. No, we'll have spoiler klaxons all around this.
Okay, cool. So you may or may not know, but like none of us knew how the show was going to end as another Dave Filoni special. So nobody knew anything. And then I was told I would be doing something extra. Do you guys know the story? Shall I recount it?
Yeah. No, please.
Please
okay. tell us. Whether so, we've heard it or not, we like to hear you tell.
Okay. So we recorded our final episode all together, and it was very emotional, obviously. And, you know, we were all going to get together for dinner immediately afterwards at a restaurant nearby the studio where we recorded. I had been told that I was going to be doing something and I needed to stay back. And so everyone's like, what is it? What's happening? What is she, you know, what is she doing? And I didn't know. And so everyone leaves to go over to the restaurant, including like producers. Everyone is dismissed. And only Dave and our sound engineer and myself remain. It's all very mysterious. And Dave comes in the booth and he hands me this handwritten note, like a piece of notebook paper that he wrote by hand potentially on the plane, because that's where he would do a lot, does a lot of his like best thinking, I guess, when he's like, commuting from Northern California to LA. And so he hands me the epilogue that I read at the end of that Sabine reads at the end, or Sabine recites at the end of the finale episode. And I immediately start crying.
Because that's everybody's ending right there.
It's so, oh my God. I'm like, first of all, I'm like, wait, how many people? He's like, yeah, nobody's seen this. Nobody knows what's happening. You are one of like maybe three people that have seen, or four people that have seen what, you know, that's going to know what's happening here. And I'm like, oh my God.
So why shush up.
But also like, me? Are you sure? Like, are you sure? Someone's made a mistake here. So he's like, so you absolutely cannot tell anybody. And I mean anybody. And I was like, oh God, this is so much pressure. And then I read it and like tears just like immediately spontaneously start coming out of my eyes, rolling down my cheeks. Because, you know, if you've seen the last episode, you know what she says in the epilogue, and it's very emotional. So then we get through it, you know, it was really a special moment. And then I get to dinner, and of course everybody's like, what is it? What do you know? And I was like, oh my God, I have to take this to my grave if I have to. Like, this, there's no way I can say anything. It's too important and it's too amazing. Like, what actually transpires in the epilogue. So I didn't tell anyone, anybody actually, until we went to the screening of the finale and I got to watch Vanessa like learn about, well, I won't say too much, but Vanessa didn't know that Hera has a kid, you know, Hera and Kanan have a child, until we are watching the finale episode in a room full of like all, you know, Lucasfilm people and the cast and producers and also tons of fans, which was awesome. But she just, you know, it's Vanessa, so she's just like hysterically crying. And it was really cool because I was like, finally, I can, you know, I don't have to keep this secret anymore. But it was that getting to do it and, you know, that Dave entrusted me of all people to like keep that secret and get to, that Sabine gets to sort of wrap up the show, or hopefully not wrap up too tightly, but at least for the time being, she kind of gets to wrap it up. That was really a wonderful experience.
That's why it's so powerful, because it's an ending, but it's also a little bit of a new beginning that he does so well. Because anytime one of these things ends, it's like, okay, but what's the next thing?
Totally. And
because you set this other thing up, aside from the fact that I imagine, like you said, we see Hera's ending, but she doesn't have any lines there. It's the same with Zeb. So I imagine you could be like to Steve Bloom. It's like, I bet you'd like to know where you're going to end up. It's like,
I think Steve has a lot of ideas about where he and Agent Callis end up.
Yeah, it's like talk about something to unpack. Oh, I have so many questions about that, because I'm like, wait, what?
And then we.
Yeah, it's like, what is that story? Talk about another spinoff series that's more of a sitcom, I guess.
That's the beauty of Dave, I guess. He allowed, to me, I don't want to speak for anyone else, but I felt like it was a really satisfying ending to our story, our collective story. But then there's so many possibilities and questions, and, you know, you could tell several spin-offs, you know, you could start several spin-offs just in the way that it ended.
Yeah. And it's great because he's the master of closing one door and then opening seven.
Yes.
And the great thing about this is it's like most of the doors that Rebels opens anyway are like Sabine is pivotal to so many of them. So it's just as a fan of not just of Rebels, but of Sabine, I love that the show ended that way. But also, you know, the rhyming poetry of it, it ends with her on Ezra's tower. And also she's the one going on this new journey. And it just, and I'm not alone in this. I know there are huge Sabine fans. And as we've already touched on, the possible return of Sabine, but it's just, there's so much more story there with her. So
yeah,
hopefully someday. And that's ultimately a testament to you from starting, as you said, maybe not the least fleshed out at the beginning, became ending the whole show. I mean, what a journey that is.
Thanks. Well, I will say one more thing about the potential of, you know, the possibility of Ahsoka and Sabine setting out on this adventure, trying to find Ezra, which, you know, I would love that. I mean, just even as a, just as a fan of the show and as a, as an audience member, I would love to see that. But I just really love the idea that these two awesome kick-ass warrior women are going to go save the damsel in distress, except that it's a dude. I love that.
Yeah.
I want to watch that.
It's because not only it's brilliant because you and Ashley didn't have much one-on-one time.
No, we really didn't. Yeah, you're right.
And also it's great that you're not only going to find a dude, but you know, Sabine is the one going to rescue Ezra.
Because of course.
Who exactly. had his little crush for a while and then either kind of got the message or Sabine punched him really hard once.
And said, leave me alone, like, man.
Like Aladdin there with his Aladdin hair never really had a chance. Sabine might feel differently. I don't know.
There are people out there that really love that story. Love that for them. I know. I get a lot of messages about Sabine and Ezra, and I appreciate people's enthusiasm for that, the potential of that happening. I just don't know that that's ever going to be realized. I don't know.
Right. You respect the ship, but.
Yes. Yeah. I respect
I mean, Tia,
the ship.
He tells you how much he likes your art all the time. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. You know, we'll, you never know. Never say never, right?
Right.
It's true. Well, and we're kind of coming up at the end of our time here, but I think we have a final question for you. Times are dark and lonely and a little bit rough right now for a lot of people. Is there any inspiration that you can think of that we can all take from Sabine and her journey or just your time on Star Wars in general?
Oh, wow. No pressure on the last question.
Yeah, absolutely not. None whatsoever. Well,
solve all the problems in the world. Go.
Yeah. Well, gosh. I think, first of all, I mean, I have always felt like Sabine is such an inspirational character to me. I just find her to be so exceptional in so many ways. And not just Sabine, but the entire Ghost crew, you know, as we learned over four seasons, man, they experienced such, I mean, hardship is sort of an understatement, right? Like, look at Ezra's life and family and Hera's life. And I mean, just each one of those characters had experienced incredible hardship and heartache and betrayal and loss. And yet they were able to sort of take all of that pain and somehow gather the strength to fight for what they believe in and you know, sort of find the light in all of the darkness. And I know there's feels like there's a lot of darkness all around us right now, and people feel isolated and people feel discouraged, which I can certainly attest to that. You know, there's a lot that feels wrong right now, but it's like things that you have control over or can control. And if you can, you know, I just try to remind myself that like things will be better. There is a light at the end of this tunnel. You know, there are brighter days ahead, and we just have to do our best, you know, and rely on each other and care for each other and reach out to each other and make sure people are doing okay and make sure people know you care about them. It's just like these isolating times have kind of made me realize that the ways in which I can be a better daughter, a better sister, a better friend, and on a bigger scale, just like fighting the good fight. It's something that I really appreciate about Sabine and all of the Ghost crew. They, no matter what, you know, obstacles are in front of them, they are never, they're always willing to do what needs to be done to fight the good fight and fight for the little guy. And those are things I really try and take in with me into my own life. And so people need our help. And if you have the ability and the wherewithal, you know, let's do what we can and get each other through this really rough time.
Wonderful.
Well, I think that is the most perfect answer possible to that question. And with that, unfortunately, we will end there, but thank you so much to you, Tia, for joining us. I just have to say you are most definitely a Ferrari. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
I love it.
I was told not to, but I couldn't resist.
Please, again, I welcome it. Thank you.
Thank you again, and you are welcome back anytime. Take care.
Thank you so much, guys. You guys be safe and be healthy and hang in there.
And we're out.
She's so wonderful.
Yeah, she's what a ray of light. And, you know, sometimes people aren't fans and then they get involved and how quickly they become fans.
Oh, and it's so easy to get involved in it. There's something for everyone, no matter, you know, what floats your boat in Star Wars. I think there is always a way in for everyone. And Tia very clearly just has a lot of love for the franchise now after being involved with it and digging in a little bit, which is just it's so nice.
And speaking of love for the franchise, this is something we'll be touching on in this coming Friday show a lot more. But there was, as always happens, as is classic us, such is the way of things. We recorded, and then probably as we were recording, two big Star Wars game trailer drops happened while we were recording. One for Star Wars Squadrons, which looks great, and another for... As excited as we are for that game, I think the one that at least you and I are more excited about is Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. I believe yes. The quote from you after this came out is, I'm going to play this game so damn hard.
Yes.
And I stupidly tried to top it. I'm like, I'm going to play it even harder.
Harder.
It's like I need to like. This is not a contest. That's going to be 2021, unfortunately. But how delightful does it look?
It's going to be so much fun. I just remember playing all of the Star Wars Lego games on the GameCube and the Xbox for a while. I've had a lot of them. And all of the Lego games, like me and my brother had Indiana Jones too.
Oh, I love that one.
Which was just delightful. It's so fun.
I've played most of them. I know I definitely played the first one Lego game I ever played was the first Star Wars one that was prequels only. And I love that. And then they came out with the original trilogy. But then when they put them all together, I played that one. And I played, yes. I like unlocked every single character. Okay. Oh my God. I just unlocked Tawn Wee. Oh my God. Well, what can they do? What weapons do they have? What do they do? It's like they do nothing. They just walk around and they have a big neck.
They just look slightly
cool.
Different.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, the only difference is the people who use the Force.
Right. My roommate at the time is like, this is an event? I'm like, yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, it's an event. Screw off. And I definitely played Indy. I played Lord of the Rings. Mm. I think. And then I remember I tried Marvel Super Heroes 2. And I got in a jam. I got in this place where I couldn't. Rocket Raccoon kept falling down this thing, and no matter what I did, it was I lost. So I stopped playing the game.
I get that. We had a Batman one that was really good.
Oh,
too.
I haven't played any of the DC.
The DC ones. There's some good DC ones.
I mean, there's pretty. I think the only one I haven't touched Jurassic World. Or
or
any of those really, but they're there. There are tons of them, and it's generally the same thing, isn't it? It's collect all the characters and collect all the studs. So it's
simple. It's delightful, and Lego humor is just the peak of comedy for me.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. It's like it's not edgy. It's not, you know, it's not even trying to be. It's just very wholesome, and sometimes it just really hits the mark. It's like that with the Lego shows of Star Wars, and based on this trailer alone, the gag of Palpatine with the lightning and then throwing it down, doing the lightning for real. It's weird that I'm getting chills from a Lego trailer.
Right. Well, they did use the John Williams score over the top of it. So, naturally, like, you're going to just feel a certain way about it.
Yeah. And it's all over the whole saga. And it's like using it. I think it was one of the Rise of Skywalker music tracks.
Yep. Absolutely.
One of those trailers. And then it turns around and it's, you know, two porgs in a Jedi cloak, which is the equivalent of three kids in a trench coat. It's like now we have a
two
Star
porgs.
Wars equivalent of that.
Two porgs in a robe.
And that's canon. Canon fire. So, we're both very excited about that. Not to mention Yaddle. You can play as Yaddle. So
play as Yaddle.
Come on.
It's going to be epic, guys.
And I think they've said there will be like DLC for Rebels and Solo and Rogue One and stuff like that. So I'm just going to, once I unlock Saw Gerrera, I'm just going to play as him. constantly.
It's all over from there.
Yeah, it's over for everybody. It's all over, everybody. Wrap it up. But we'll be talking about this more on Friday's episode. But in the meantime, just such a huge thank you to Tia Sirkar for joining us. So inspiring. And we're obviously, I think it's clear that we're fans. Caitlin M. Bush, anything else to add for the special bonus episode?
No, I'm excited to continue with Rebels down the line, and a big thank you to Tia for joining us. I think it was a highlight of my week, as I'm sure it was yours too, Brian. And we're looking forward to seeing what she does next, whether it be in Star Wars or not in Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely. And on Friday, our Rebels rewatch will continue with two very special episodes. Our whole episode given over to just these two, Twin Sons, which is huge in terms of Star Wars, and the season 3 finale, Zero Hour, where stuff goes down.
That's right. It's my hour.
I'm psyched.
It's finally a whole hour of just me.
Oh,
that's
no.
Right, everybody.
Yes. Oh, yes. Caitlin M. Bush. I'm going to be here for a whole hour.
Yeah, that's right, fans. Zero the Hutt is joining us live in my house for the whole episode.
Terrifying.
Especially for Zero Hour. It's my finally my hour. Believe it or not, some fans have requested that.
I know they have.
Some fans have requested that Zero the Hutt do an entire episode just to annoy. It's like, it would really annoy Matt and Caitlin. I'm like, well, I don't think it would annoy Matt. I'm like, I know it would annoy Caitlin to the point of quitting, and let's not do that. So
anyway, so we'll see how far I get.
But in the meantime, that's going to do it for this special bonus episode. But as I said, we'll be back this Friday for our regular series. We'll continue our rewatch of Star Wars Rebels.
You're Rebels, aren't you?
In the meantime, feel free to reach out to us on social media if you so choose. Caitlin M. Bush, you can be found where?
I can be found at Caitlin M. Bush. That is CaitlinM. Bush like the beer, not like the president's.
And I can be found on Twitter at Brian Silliman. That's at BRIANS as in Sky Guy, ILLIMAN. Search out with your feelings and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, and give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Snoke 'em if you got 'em. Take a chivy. And remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. Huge thanks once again to Tia Sirkar. You are welcome back anytime. This is the way we have spoken. The Force will be with you always. Be the spark.
Let's go to Bastamania.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.